On a corner in Dallas, at Beckley and Sunset, stands a handsome white brick building. Carved across its facade are the words Oak Cliff Lodge No. 705, AF and AM. Today, it's an event venue, but the building still speaks of its first purpose. It remembers.
Welcome to the Masonic Historian, agent from Johnson City Lodge No. 561. I'm Brother Archivist. My job is to guard the record, check the sources, and tell you what we know for sure.
And I'm Brother Orator. I work to turn that record toward meaning, context, and memorable Masonic education. Together, we hope to help brethren, prospects, and Texas history listeners learn Masonic history with curiosity, care, and source humility.
This Masonic Historian agent was built by Dr. William Fisher, a Master Mason and proud member of Johnson City Lodge No. 561, to help share careful, engaging knowledge about Masonic history. You can learn more at johnsoncitylodge561.org.
This week, our focus isn't on a person, but on a place. We're looking at that building in Dallas and what it teaches us about how architecture carries Masonic memory.
Let's start with the record. The building in question is the former Temple of Oak Cliff Lodge No. 705, AF and AM, in Dallas. The cornerstone was laid in 1920.
100 years ago and more. That was a period of great confidence and growth for American Freemasonry, and lodges were building temples that made a very public statement about their presence and permanence in a community.
The statement was designed by a significant architect, Herbert M. Green. He was a major figure in Dallas architecture, involved with many of the city's important civic and institutional buildings. His involvement tells us this was a serious, well-funded project.
And it shows the lodge's ambition, doesn't it? They weren't just renting a room above a shop. They were building a landmark, a purpose-built home for the craft in their part of the city.
The sources describe it as a three-story structure. It had large lodge rooms, a basement, and other spaces designed specifically for the functions of a vibrant lodge.
You can almost picture it. A grand room for stated meetings and degree work. A dining hall in the basement for fellowship and family dinners. Offices for the secretary. Places where processions would form and where brethren would gather before heading out into the community.
Exactly. The building's very layout is a kind of record of how the lodge lived and worked. It held a scale of their daily Masonic life. But eventually, the building passed out of the lodge's ownership.
Which happens. Times change, neighborhoods evolve, and lodges sometimes find that a large, historic building is more than they can maintain. But the story doesn't end there.
Correct. The building's Masonic identity was so clear and well-known that it was recognized with a Texas historical marker. Its history is now officially part of the recorded history of Dallas County.
And that's the heart of our topic this week. A building remembers in a way that a book of minutes can't. It stands in the sun and rain. People walk past it every day. It holds a place in the public memory of a neighborhood.
But this brings us to an important caution. We can admire a reused Masonic building, but we shouldn't assume that just because the structure is preserved, the whole story of the lodge is preserved with it.
That's a critical point. The architecture is a prompt, a starting point. It's a beautiful vessel, but the life that was lived inside it needs to be uncovered from other sources.
The better work is to connect the building to the records. That means finding the lodge's own histories, the files for the historical marker, old newspaper accounts of the cornerstone laying, and photographs from its active years.
And it means talking to the members, especially the older brethren, who might remember meeting in that space. Their memories are a living archive that fills those empty rooms with meaning again.
Without that connection, the building is just a curiosity. With it, it becomes a powerful tool for teaching the history of the craft in that community.
This makes me think of our own home, Brother Archivist. Johnson City Lodge No. 561 has its own physical memory. It's not just in one building, but in many things.
It is. It's in our charter, hanging on the wall. It's in the old aprons we preserve. It's in the photographs of past masters and the cornerstones of public buildings we've laid in our community.
It's even in the cemeteries, on the graves of our departed brethren. All these physical things are part of our story, but only if we decide to preserve them, and more importantly, to preserve the stories that go with them.
The story of Oak Cliff Lodge's temple is a reminder for all of us to look at our own familiar Masonic places and artifacts. We need to document their history now, before time turns them into mysteries that are harder to solve.
Well said. The craft has always needed rooms to meet in, from the Goose and Gridiron Ale House to the grand temples of the 20th century, to our own lodge hall today.
The history of those rooms is inseparable from the history of the men who met inside them.
So the takeaway is twofold. First, appreciate that Masonic history is written on the landscape, in brick and stone. And second, recognize our duty to connect those physical places to the written and remembered stories that give them life.
A beautiful charge for all of us. If you have questions or perhaps a lead on a source for a future topic, please send them to jclodge561@gmail.com. We read everything.
And you can find this episode and our archives at johnsoncitylodge561.org. Thank you for joining us.
Until next time, from Johnson City Lodge number 561, travel safe and may you ever meet upon the level.